Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. This is an adult Bible study. Everybody else from 21 and under is all in their own classrooms throughout the building, so we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here with us online. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Can you say amen?
Amen,
amen, amen. Amen. And if you don't know, Wednesday night Bible study is an hour, more or less. Usually more, but not too much more. We try to keep it right at 8. Glory, because we pray. We have a prayer meeting after this for anybody that can stay and pray. Glory to God. Are you doing okay out there? We're kind of in the middle of this temperature. You hot or cold? That's probably a mistake to ask. How many are just right? Oh, that's pretty good. I wonder if you're hot. I wonder if you're cold. I wonder if you don't care. Amen, 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 amen. I always love it when I go to those restaurants, you know, and it's you know, the weather's changing, so it's been 80 degrees, so they got the air conditioner on, but then all of a sudden during the, you know, Tennessee is, and all of a sudden it's 55 the next day, but they don't change the air. And I'm going, gee, it's 40. Anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to begin tonight in Acts chapter 20. Acts 20. We began a message Sunday morning that we're going to, this is part two of it tonight. We call it Run Your Spiritual Race. Amen. Everybody has a spiritual race. We all have the race that we should become more and more like Jesus and mature and grow up and be like Jesus. And then we all have a part to play in God's kingdom. And then God has given us all different dreams and goals and visions in life. Praise God. But we should run our spiritual race. Glory to God. And in Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse number 22, this is the Apostle Paul. And he said, "See, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me." What does that mean, chains and tribulations? In other words, imprisonment. The Holy Ghost is, he feels compelled by the Holy Ghost to go. He feels, you know, you can debate that, but he feels compelled by his own conscience to go there. He feels compelled by the Holy Spirit to go. And he says, "I'm also know that when I get there, you know, prison awaits me, hardship, troubles, trials of all kind await me." But I love this. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, actually, verse number 24. The great apostle Paul said, "None of these things move me. None of these things move me. Why? Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify of the gospel of the grace of God." Glory to God. He says, "Listen, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what the Spirit of God is leading me to do. I don't care what awaits me. I don't care about my life. I mean, I do care about my life, but it's not the preeminent thing in my life. I mostly care about doing the will of God, fulfilling the will of God. None of these things move me, because I'm going to do what God called me to do, come hell or high water, glory to God, and I'm going to finish my ministry, and I'm going to do it all with joy." Can you say amen? So we see that Paul was totally and completely dedicated and consecrated to finishing his particular race. Amen. And really, we all should be. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up in church, I don't know where we got this idea, Tony. We just, it was like the preacher ought to be more dedicated and consecrated than everybody else. Did you ever think that way? But you know, that's not true. Everybody ought to love God. Everybody ought to be, seek first the kingdom of God. Everybody ought to be totally dedicated to God. But Paul was determined. Everybody say determined. He was determined that nothing would deter him or distract him from finishing his race. And he refused to let fear of any kind hold him back. Amen. And then right here, you know, in Acts chapter 20, because there's something interesting here in Acts chapter 21. Because, you know, he's still talking to the people about these things, and they're talking to him. So in Acts chapter 21, this happens, beginning with verse number 10. He said, "And we stayed many days. As we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt,'" that's Paul, "'and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' Now when we heard those things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. But then Paul said in verse number 13, Paul answered and said, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Paul refused to let anything distract him or deter him from doing what he believed God wanted him to do. Amen. Well, and then we looked at this scripture over in 1 Corinthians. We'll look at it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Because Paul talks about running our race. You know, he liked to make the analogy of the Christian's life to that of an athlete, to that of a soldier, and to that of a farmer. And so here he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 24, 1 Corinthians 9, 24, Do you not know that all those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? And he says, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Run in such a way that you may obtain what? It is the prize. I like one translation. It just simply says, run to win. Sometimes it's a great accomplishment to get in a race and just finish the race, you know. But Paul says, I'm not just in this. He says, I'm running in such a way. Well, if you're going to run in such a way that you're going to win, then you're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to follow the Lord. You're going to have to follow the Holy Ghost. You're going to have to believe the Word of God. You're going to have to be courageous. You're going to have to be faithful. You're going to have to discipline yourself. You're going to have to step out in faith. Glory to God. All of those different things. And really, he's saying everybody has a spiritual race and everybody can win their race. Paul, you know, it's important that you finish your race, but Paul said, I'm not just in this thing to finish. I'm in it to win. I'm going to get on course. I'm going to stay on course. And I'm going to run my race successfully. Amen. I'm going to run it as an overcomer. I'm going to do what He called me to do, and I'm going to win my race. Can you say amen? Amen. And so He says in verse number 25, you know, everyone who competes in the prize is temperate. You know, athletes. Everyone who competes in the prize is temperate. What does it mean to be temperate? Well, that simply means to be self-disciplined and self-controlled. Self-disciplined and self-controlled. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we do it for an imperishable crown. We do it for eternal rewards. Amen. We do it to hear Jesus say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and to have a reward that will last, rewards that will last throughout all eternity. Think about that. Glory to God. Therefore, in other words, just like a natural athlete, I run. This is how I run. Therefore, I run this not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. See, I is the real man, the spirit man. See, you know, you don't have a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a body. See, you don't have a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a body. He says, I discipline my body. You know, I bring my body, my flesh, my senses, and all those things. I bring those things into subjection, glory to God. So in other words, he said, I'm not running aimlessly. I fight like a real boxer in the room. I'm just not over there shadow boxing. No, I'm fighting a real opponent. I'm with a clear goal in mind, glory to God. And I do it. I keep my body under subjection to my spirit so that I will finish my race and not lose my rewards. And because he was totally committed and dedicated and consecrated to running his race and determined, because he was so determined to run in such a way that he would successfully finish his race, near the end of his life, he was able to truthfully say. In other words, Almighty God would back him up in this. And we read that, 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul said, you know, my life is coming to an end. The end is near for me. I know that by the Spirit. And he said, and he could say because it was right, he said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. So Paul ran his race with joy. He finished his race successfully. And he heard, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, we can and all should have run our race in the same way. Glory to God. I like that. I might finish my race with joy. Yes, we were to be committed and faithful and serious, but we can do it with joy. Hallelujah. We can have a good time while we're doing this. Amen. Glory to God. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you 7 nuggets of truth to run and finish your race with joy. And this is where I was toward the end. I had these seven things, and I readjusted and said, we can't do that. We're going to have to do that later. But here's what I want to give you. Seven nuggets. Now, you know what a nugget is, don't you? It ain't the whole chicken, man. It's just a nugget. So you understand, each one of these 7 points, some of them could be series that you could preach on for a long, 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 long time and not exhaust them. But these are nuggets of truth. Sometimes it's good to see the whole picture. You know, if you're putting a puzzle together, it's good to just see the whole picture. And so this will kind of give you a whole picture. And it's not everything, just things the Holy Ghost gave me. 7 nugets of truth that'll help you run and finish your race with joy. No particular order here. Number one, don't let the sheep get your goat. You understand, this is just another excuse or way for me to teach you on love. Have you ever noticed, I'm called to be a pastor, but I'm also called to be a teacher. There's certain things that I emphasize because it's what God's anointed me to do and called me to do. I always emphasize walking in love. I always emphasize walking in faith. I always emphasize the Spirit of God. Amen. I always emphasize being committed to God and being totally sold out to God because that's what changed my life. I went to church most of my life. Every time the doors were open, backslid for a few years, came back, and I came back to God, and I fully and completely dedicated my life to God, and that's when everything began to radically change for me. Yes, that's when I got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. That's when I found out about the Word of Faith. That's when I always emphasize the integrity and the reality of the Word. You're always going to hit those things that God's called you to do. And I don't apologize for it because that's what He's called me to do. Amen. I forgot who it was. You don't mind a little side journey, do you? Sometimes the side journeys help people more than the main message. I forget who it was here on earth, now that he is in heaven. But it was somebody like D.L. Moody. Some real revivalist. Maybe it wasn't Moody, because this person was a real revivalist, a real evangelist. And they said in private that he would just, talk to people and talk to his staff and talk to his friends and fellow ministers, and he would discuss Bible truths with them. And he would just, as we would say today, he would just blow their minds with the things that he would tell them from the Scriptures. And they said, my goodness, man, you need to get up and teach these things. And he goes, oh, no. He said, if I teach, I lose my ability to evangelize. And that's what God's called me to do. Let the teachers do the teaching. Everybody has to do what they're called to do. Amen. Everybody has their own particular race. And if you want to get frustrated, just go do something that you're not called to do. But anyway, back to this. Don't let the sheep get your goat. In other words, don't let others anger and annoy and irritate you and steal your joy and steal your peace. How many of you have an opportunity today to be annoyed by somebody else? Geez, just 5 minutes before I got to church, I had an opportunity to be annoyed. Just on the road, But I didn't. A guy said on the side street, because you know how we all cut over on that side street to get over here real quick. Everybody know, you don't know, John, because you come the other way. But if you come from my way, you miss that red light and turn. Well, he'd just sit there, and he didn't know anybody was behind me. So I've done that 100 times. And then he took off, and then he was in front of me, driving way, 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 way below the speed limit. Then all of a sudden, he just turned off real quick, and I was like, oh, jeez. Hallelujah. I'm not annoyed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And of course, the truth of the matter is when people really become embittered, when they allow a root of bitterness to take place in their heart, then that person is not going to move forward in God. And 1,000, you could preach on that forever. But if somebody has unforgiveness and bitterness in their heart and just refuse to forgive, that person is not going to finish their race. They're not going to go very far in God, and it's going to open the door to the devil in their lives. But even if you don't get bitter, just don't allow others' faults and quirks and sins and aggravating behavior steal your joy. See, you want to finish your race with joy, don't you? Well, amen. You're going to have to do what the Word of God says and walk in love and forgive and be patient. King James says, long suffering. Suffer long with people. Glory to God. Number two, stay in rest. Stay in rest. Glory to God. This is a beautiful thing. You do that by keeping your cares cast over on the Lord. Amen. You stay in rest by keeping your cares cast over on the Lord. If you find yourself stressed out, There's a reason. Now listen, there's some very precious people, even some friends of mine. I understand it because of the challenges of life and the challenges of ministry, the challenges of being a mother, the challenges of being a businessman, whatever it is. You know, a lot of books and a lot of messages have been written over the years about spiritual burnout, where people just get so burnt out and so stressed mentally and emotionally, they don't hardly know their name. Pastors, pastors' wives, businessmen, mothers, housewives. You know, people, when I was growing up, they'd say people had a nervous breakdown. But here's the honest truth, and some people have come out of that, and they've preached and taught some wonderful things about it, but here's the honest truth. You have to be disobedient to spiritually burn out. You really do. You really do. And I understand, because you can be going 100 miles an hour, you know, just like Martha. You can be going 100 miles an hour instead of sitting at the feet of Jesus like you should and get all stressed out. You can be working for Jesus without first taking time to spend time in His presence, and that's a great mistake. And you know, we Pentecostals and Charismatics, we like to go 100 miles an hour sometimes. You know, so some old-time Pentecostals, they couldn't stand our service right now. I mean, you know, this is just way too tame. Somebody'd have to start. You know, you can't go more than 5 minutes without somebody working it up or screaming or shouting or doing something. It's like true story. It's like the Pentecostal preacher. This is back in the old days before there was a charismatic movement. But he was riding with a state trooper that went to his church. He was just riding with him. You know how people like to do a ride along. And he said, we were sitting on the side of the road. And he said, this car come whizzing past us. And he said, he must have been doing 100 miles an hour. And that, you know, of course, the preacher's getting all excited because the state trooper turns on his lights and sirens. And he spins out and takes after him. And he's, you know, hammering down to catch up with him. And the preacher said, what do you think it is? What do you think it is? He goes, I don't know. It's either a drunk or a Pentecostal pastor. Go, 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 go. And it sounds funny, but people went so much, they literally died. They wore themselves out. They would never miss a, you know, they wouldn't take any time with their kids. They wouldn't take any vacation time. They just wouldn't do it, and they literally wore themselves out. You know, Jesus told His disciples, remember, He said, come apart and rest for, wait a minute, this is Jesus, the Son of the living God. He's the Messiah. These are the apostles. We can't rest. We got to get out there. No, Jesus came apart. Over and over, we see where He went along and got before the Lord. And He told His disciples to come apart and rest. So anytime you find yourself stressed out, there's a reason. Number one is because you've taken on the care of something. Even though you know you're not supposed to, you're worried about something, you're anxious about something. Number two, you're not getting enough rest, physical rest and spiritual rest. That's really another point. Or number three, you're just too busy. Too busy. Number one, you're doing something God never called you to do. Or number two, you're too wrapped up in just doing your own thing. Nothing wrong with what you're doing. Obviously, you shouldn't be involved in doing wrong things. But, you know, the legitimate pleasures of life, entertainment, sports, hobbies, camping, hiking, fishing, I don't care what it is, you can get too wrapped up in it and it take up all your time and it'll cool your spiritual fire. Amen. And so I remember Keith Moore said, because you know, he was back in the day, he was a teacher at Rhema. He taught, so I mean, that's a lot of preparation to get ready for all those classes, teaching almost every single day. And then he taught healing school. You know, Brother Hagin did healing school for a solid year, every day himself personally. After that, Keith Moore, for the next several years, he was the one that did healing school, had a healing school on the campus of Rhema every day. Sometimes they have a fill-in teacher, but he's there basically every day. He's also a teacher. And then he went on the road with Brother Hagin. And he said, I got to where I was passing myself coming and going. I was stressed out. I was always tired. I was doing nothing but study, work, work, study, work, work. And he said, I cried out to the Lord one day and said, Lord, I just can't do it all. It's just too much. I'm just too busy. And he said, the Lord said, I have not. You know, remember, you know, Jesus said, my burden is light. My yoke is easy. If you're overburdened and it's heavy, then something's not right. And you have to back up and find out why. And so he said, the Lord told him, he said, here's the problem. You're doing things that I didn't call you to do. You're doing what I called you to do. You're doing things I haven't called you to do. And you're too wrapped up doing your own thing. So when he quit doing those things God didn't call him to do, and he quit, you know, being too wrapped up in... And again, it doesn't have to be, you know, something terrible. I know people tease me about liking to, especially my motorcycle, liking to keep it just polished. But Keith, I mean, I get out there and clean on it, but Keith would do it literally for hours and hours and hours and hours on end. He said, God told him one time, if you don't quit rubbing on that, I'm going to take it away from you. So, you know, I mean, there is that side to it. So you know, you're just too busy because you're doing something God never called you to do, or you're wrapped up in some legitimate worldly pleasure. You have to learn. Every Christian has to learn. Every opportunity is not a calling. Every need is not a calling. I know, but that's just the truth. You see, you do what God has called you to do. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. But if we do what He's called us to do, and we take on what He hasn't called us to do, and we spend too much time on some natural pursuit or pleasure, even though it's legitimate, we'll end up stressed out and we'll lose our joy. So don't do that. Don't do that. Everybody say, I got it. Amen. Number three, we need to learn to operate in godly wisdom from the Word and the Spirit. Godly wisdom. Glory to God. I love this scripture. You don't hear it much. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says, if the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success, or in other words, gives you a successful edge. What he's saying is, if you're chopping with a dull axe, you're going to have to use a whole lot more strength and chop and chop and chop and chop and not be very effective. But if you sharpen that axe, you wouldn't have to work near as hard, and you'd get the job done more effectively and quicker, and you know, be more fruitful and be more productive. I know I have to watch myself, especially when I get out doing some stuff in the yard. You know, I'm kind of like, if I'm picking up a pile of sticks and taking them back to my woods or burn them or something, you know, I'll grab it and make 50 trips. And Margaret will say, why don't you go get the wheelbarrow? And I'm going, leave me alone. I'm just, you know, go get the wheelbarrow and put it all in there and make 2 trips instead of 75 back and forth. Amen. But so we have to, you know, Ecclesiastes 10:10, another translation said, a dull axe makes the works harder. The be wise and stop and sharpen the axe. You will accomplish more with less effort. The Amplified Bible says, if the axe is dull and he does not sharpen the edge, then he must exert more strength. But wisdom to sharpen the axe helps him succeed with less effort. People wear themselves out, amen, because they don't operate in wisdom. We need to operate in wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Word, and wisdom comes from the Holy Ghost. Amen. Mark Hankins made a statement that his father always said, B.B. Hankins always said, the Holy Ghost is a genius. And Mark Hankins made that, you know, obviously God is a genius, but Mark Hankins made that saying famous, you know, the Holy Ghost will make you a genius if you'll listen to Him. Glory to God in every area of life. Amen. I know I brought a chainsaw, and it's no secret that I'm not the most mechanically minded person in the world. But God's helping me, you know. And so chainsaws are wonderful today. They're twice as easy to operate as they were in the old days. You know, it's like a fishing rod, what we call a bait caster. You know, and in the old days, you had to put your thumb on it. And if I gave you a bait caster from the 1960s, you couldn't throw it 2 times without it just going and being a rat's nest on you. And you'd have to cut that line out of there with a sharp knife. But a modern day bait caster, you hand it to me and I'll adjust it for you. I'm going to adjust the brakes on it, and I'll adjust the fall on it, and I'll adjust the tension on it. And I can give it to you, and you can not even put your thumb on it. And you can throw it 50 times. It'll be a 4-year-old can do it. And these chainsaws, so they've come a long way, you know. So I got a chainsaw, and I got a little bit bigger one, you know. And so a lot of people sharpen the chains. I don't know how to sharpen the chains. I just used it and used it and used it. And I mean, I cut up, some of these trees were on the ground. Some of them I cut down. I cut up maybe 20 of them, you know. So finally the chain just gets dull. And so the heck with all that sharpening business, I just go buy me a new chain. Well, I've never put a chain on a chainsaw, but like I said, it's a whole lot easier than it used to be. So I put the chain on the chainsaw, and I crank it up, and I go over to this tree about this big around, and I... And, I mean, it doesn't... It nothing. I mean, a butter knife would have cut more than that. And so I did it again. And I did it again. And I text my son-in-law, Doug. You know, there's Doug's mother right there. And I text my son-in-law, Doug, who's extremely mechanically minded. I said, hey, Doug, this may sound stupid, but is it possible to put a chain on a chainsaw backwards? And he went, definitely. I went, okay. I mean, I was trying to cut with the wrong end of the blade, you know, on the dull side. Well, you know, no matter how sincere I was, no matter how hard I worked, I wasn't getting anywhere. And there's a whole lot of people that don't finish their race, not because they're not dedicated, but they're just not operating in God's wisdom. They're sincere and they're working hard, but they're doing it apart from the Word and apart from the help of the Holy Ghost, and they're not getting anywhere. In every area, God through His Word and by His Spirit will show you how to work smarter and get good results. Amen. Or you can work hard with a dull axe. And believe me, I was about to lose my joy that day. And you'll lose your joy if you don't work smarter. Number four, you need to abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. You know Jesus talked about that, abide in the vine, apart from me. If you don't stay hooked up to me, amen, you won't accomplish anything. Without me, you can do nothing. So I like to say, just stay hooked up to Jesus. How do you do that? Well, you walk in the light. You stay in fellowship with God. You know, if you have any sin in your life, you confess it and get rid of it. So walk in the light, stay in fellowship with God. Yeah, how do you stay hooked up to Jesus? How do you, in everyday reality, abide in the vine? Glory to God. You worship the Lord and you commune with God and you praise God and you spend time with God in prayer and you spend time with God in the Word. And when you do, glory to God, your spiritual batteries are being recharged. You're hooked up to the power source. You're communing with the Creator of heaven and earth. And all those things that you need begin to be transferred from Him and come on the inside of you. Out of that abiding comes the strength that you need, the peace that you need, the wisdom that you need, the power that you need, the renewal that you need to face the challenges of life and to be fruitful and productive in doing whatever it is that God has called you to do. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Abiding in the vine, like I said, it charges our spiritual batteries. Then we're operating in wisdom. Then we're effective. Then we're not stressed. Then we're at peace. Then we live and serve with joy. Most Christians, you know, F.F. Bosworth said, most Christians eat three hot meals a day, but they feed their spirits three cold snacks a week. And you're just not going to be. I use that example sometimes, but it's the absolute truth. Can you imagine somebody that never gets rest physically, never gets proper rest? One night they sleep 4 hours. Next night they sleep 1 hour. The next night maybe five. The next night two. They eat junk food all day long. They don't eat anything for 2 or 3 days. And they live that way for 6 months. That person would be a physical mess. And that's how Christians are. They haven't spent any time with God. They haven't praised God. They haven't worshiped God. They haven't read their Bible. They haven't communed with God. They haven't praised God. They haven't been in church. They haven't heard the Word taught. And then they're out there, we're going to do something for God. Not likely. Not likely. It's not a matter of works. It's a matter of getting in His presence so you can receive what you need. Amen. I use this example sometimes because it's a good one and a fairly recent one, but not that recent, I guess, but 21 years ago, when we moved into this building, you can see that door over there. You see those kick plates on the bottom? Well, you know, when we moved into this building, we were doing all kinds of things to it. And, of course, because I'm not so mechanically minded, there's a lot of things I can't do, but I can put on kick plates and the push plates, you know, that you put your hands on. Well, I was using a battery-powered drill with a screwdriver bit. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean by that. A battery-powered drill to put those screws in. And, you know, that makes it real easy. You just zzz, and you're finished. I counted today. That kick plate has 10 screws on it. The other one has 10 screws on it. That's 12. I mean, 20. 10 is 20. The push plate has 6 screws, and there's 2 of them. That's 12. That's 32 screws. Zzz, zzz. Pretty easy. Except I got about halfway through, and I ran out of power. You know, in other words, my battery pack needed to be recharged. And we didn't have a spare. I thought, okay, I just do it by hand. But I mean, it took, before, I mean, it was just like 10 seconds to get it in there. Now it was taking a minute and a half, 3 minutes. And I don't know what kind of wood that is over there, but it's hard. And that inch-long screw, by the time you got about halfway, it took, my hand was red, my hand was hurting, I was tired, I couldn't hardly get it in. And I looked up and I got 15 more screws to get in there. Because you know, it takes time to recharge the battery. It's going to take hours. And I think that's how a lot of Christians are. They're out there in their own might, in their own strength, because they're not charged up, because they haven't been in the presence of God, and that's why life is hard for them. Oh, man, it's so important. Don't do it. Don't do it. One of the greatest things you can ever do is just, we tell it to brand new people that just get saved. We tell it to those in the children's church back there. Have a devotional time. Amen. Spend time with the Lord. Amen. I know it's not as super exciting, but it really is. It's a wonderful time to get in His presence. It's interesting that Jesus said, when Jesus talked about abiding in the vine in John 15, verse 11 says, one of the benefits of your joy, one of the benefits of abiding in the vine is that your joy may be full. I tell you, my joy was not full when I ran out of juice over there. It was hard and difficult. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I got this many, many, many years ago, and you know, when things mean a lot to you, sometimes you keep them. But this was from Pat Robertson. And he said, Jesus, he's talking about abiding in the vine. And he says, Jesus goes on to say, abide in me. This is the key to bearing fruit. When I was growing up, there was an apple orchard right outside my bedroom window. And you know, I never once looked out my window and saw those trees dancing around at night trying to bear fruit. I never once heard them groaning saying, oh, I've got to have fruit. But every spring, blossoms would appear, followed by fruit. My folks had to saw off some of the dead leaves and spray the fruit to keep bugs away. But other than that, the trees bore fruit naturally. In the same way, you are to bear fruit as a natural expression of your life in Jesus. It isn't something you have to cultivate and sweat and strain to do. But just as tree limbs must be connected to the trunk to bear fruit, you must be connected to Jesus. Without Him, you cannot be fruitful. And you must keep your priorities straight. If you look at a fruit tree, the big end of the limb is always attached to the trunk from which it draws nourishment. And the little end is where the fruit comes out. Follow this example. You must be sure that your major focus is on Jesus and not on your work or even your ministry to others. That's why it's so important to set aside time each day to praise, worship, and listen to God. Whenever I start a day without prayer and time in the Word, it is a wasted day. Nothing goes right. The Bible says both David and Jesus sought God early. Amen. I said amen. You remember, of course, Martha and Mary. And you know, Jesus came to their house and Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And Martha just got distracted and got all frustrated and just began because you got to feed all those people, take care of all those things. You remember that story. And as one man put it this way, talking about them, he said, the Lord wants us to imitate Mary in our worship and Martha in our work. Blessed are the balanced, he said. He goes on, few things are as damaging to the Christian life as trying to work for Christ without taking time to commune with Christ. Unless we meet personally and privately each day, we will soon end up like Martha, busy but not blessed. Amen. So stay plugged in. Glory to God. Maintain your devotional life. It's a must. It's an absolute must to successfully run in your life and for a lot of other reasons. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Then don't let anything sidetrack you or distract you from running your race. Now these things kind of dovetail these points, but don't let anything sidetrack or distract you from running your race. We won't take time to look at it, but you can put it up if you want to. We have the Amplified back there now, guys. And you can put up Mark 4:19. You know, Jesus said, people hear the Word of God. He said, but the worries and cares of this world, the distractions of this age with its worldly pleasures, and the deceitfulness and false security of glamour, of wealth or fame, and the passionate desires for all other things creep in and choke the Word, and it becomes unfruitful. Well, not only will these things choke out the Word in your life, but they will keep you from running your spiritual race. Amen. Sometimes Christians just get too busy with the natural side of life. Just too busy. We alluded to that Sunday morning, but just the busyness of life. You got to do this, you got to take care of the kids, you got to take care of the house, you got to do your job. Well, don't you think that God knows all that? And He's not a heavy taskmaster. Amen. But we should not, if we get too busy for Jesus, we're too busy. Can you say amen? And so again, here's something I read years ago, and this is really, really, really outstanding from Gloria Copeland. She said she quotes that scripture I just read. She said, "Did you know that seemingly innocent things in your everyday life can suffocate your spiritual life if you allow it?" Listen now. A friend of mine said the Lord told her in prayer one day that this nation has become a nation of maintenance men. "You have so many things to maintain," he told her. "You maintain your house, you maintain your car, your yard, your machines, your hair." It's true. You can become a maintainer of so many natural things that you don't have any time left to maintain your own spirit. So when you find yourself in that situation, here's the advice. It's time to simplify your life. Yes. I've had to learn that myself. Now when I'm considering something I think I need, I just don't count the cost in dollars and cents. I think about how much time it will take to maintain it. I check to see if I can spiritually afford it. That's good, isn't it? I think a lot of times people say, "Oh, if I can afford to do this." Well, you get to a point and you say, "Oh, I can afford to do that. But can I spiritually afford to do it?"
Amen.
Amen. 2 Timothy 2:4 tells us not to get entangled. Is this in the Bible?
Amen.
Not to get entangled in the affairs of life. One thing I've learned over the last 45 years, nothing is as important, going back to what we just said, nothing is as important as spending time in prayer and in the Word with the Father. Absolutely nothing in my life is as vital as that. Out of that flows everything else we need. So that's why I emphasize that. And that's why I emphasize it to myself. Glory to God. Amen. I said amen. And so sometimes people are very, have good motives and a right heart, but they're just too busy. And we get caught up in the busyness of life. And then sometimes Christians end up living for and serving money, or some hobby, or entertainment, or some worldly pursuit. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. Amen. Lots you could say about that, but always put God first. Never lose your first love. Keep yourself stirred up spiritually. We must always make sure that we're seeking first the kingdom of God and seeking His way of doing things. And all these other things are fleeting, but our obedience to God is eternal. There is nothing, absolutely nothing more important than doing what God has told us to do and from fulfilling our assignment. That doesn't mean you're not supposed to take care of your house and take care of your car, because you are, and cut your grass. That doesn't mean that you can't. Junior and I have spent a lot of wonderful nights fishing where we had rich, rich fellowship and caught a few fish and caught some big fish and had a good time. Glory to God. But you just got to keep, again, the main thing, the main thing. The main thing is keep the main thing, the main thing. Can you say amen? Number six, we'll hurry along here. Number six, if you're going to finish your course with joy, always view yourself in Christ. You look a whole lot better in Christ than you do out of Christ. In other words, don't just look at yourself in the natural. If the devil can get you to focus on your inabilities and your weaknesses and your past failures and your past mistakes, then you'll become condemned and frustrated and discouraged and lose your joy, and you might even give up and quit. I see so many people over the years backslide. It's not because they're just God haters and full of the devil. Sometimes they are, but that's sometimes it's just that they're just so guilty and so condemned and don't feel like they measure up, and they're trying to do it in their own strength instead of the grace of God, that they just end up just being frustrated and condemned and just give up and quit. In Christ Jesus, we are forgiven, we are righteous, and we are accepted in the Beloved. Capital B, that means Jesus, accepted in the Beloved. In Christ, we can do all things. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. So I don't care who you are. They asked one time, they did a survey of some of the people that were the top models of the country, top models. So these are the ladies that people consider beautiful, beautifully shaped, all that kind of stuff. Beautiful hair, beautiful skin, all that kind of stuff. And every one of them, when they said, "How do you feel?" And then all they'd talk about was, "Oh, my this is too big, my that's too big, my hair's not." Oh, they just tend to focus on all their flaws in their life. I don't know. That's just something about human nature. But we need to focus on who we are in Christ. Amen. And realize that we are forgiven. Everybody say, we are forgiven. Amen. And then number seven, to finish your course with joy, never, 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 never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Never quit. We're going to read Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 in a minute. Do that in the Amplified Bible for me, if you would, guys. Hebrews 12, never give up. Regardless of obstacles, never give up. Amen. Regardless of past failures, never give up. Regardless of past victories, never give up and never quit. Never become satisfied. Amen. But like the Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, we reach forward to those things which are ahead. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Amen. It's been said a number of different ways by a number of different people, but it's absolutely the truth. You cannot move forward until we let go of the past, until we get free of the past. Amen. Glory to God. Paul said, I press toward the goal. Amen. Not just to finish, that's what he's saying, but I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling. In other words, I don't want to just finish, but I want to run to win. I want to be victorious. I want to finish my race successfully. That's what he means when he says, I press toward the goal of the prize of the high calling. And let's just close by I want you to put your eyes on this, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let's read that. Let me read it to you, the New King James. Therefore, also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Despising there means he didn't regard it. He didn't pay that much attention to it. He despised the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. The Amplified Bible says, just back up to, there we go, that's good. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, amen, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking away from all that will distract us, and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith. Amen. Who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Glory to God. Revealing his deity, rather his authority, and the completion of his work when he sat down. Verse 3. Just consider and meditate on him who endured from sinners such bitter hostility against himself. Consider it all in your comparison with your trials, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Glory to God, I will not quit. Glory to God, I will not quit. Amen. As the old song says, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Glory to God. Let's stand up together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So we're going to finish our course with joy. Can you say amen? Thank you, Father, for this time and the word we've had tonight, for this Bible study we've had. We thank you for the Holy Spirit to bring these things to our remembrance, for us to think about these things and meditate on these things so that they become a real part of our life. Amen. So that we really understand them and we so that we can, most importantly, be doers of the word we hear and apply them in whatever way we need to apply them in our own particular lives and in our own particular race. I thank you, Father, for these wonderful Christians, for these wonderful saints. Glory to God. I thank you that you are, by your Spirit, helping them run their race successfully. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. I pray and thank you. Amen and amen. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. Glad you were with us online. You are dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.